Indeed, there's an all-seeing eye watching us, and every day we do need to mind the course that we pursue, because indeed there is an all-seeing eye watching you and watching me, watching us. We invite your attention to this very familiar psalm. We're going to revisit it again this evening, using as the specific title of our lesson, Profile of a Godly Man. All of us should strive to be godly women and men. A profile is a brief written description that provides information about someone or something. Profiled in really the first three verses, we have a picture of a godly man. The writer begins this psalm extolling the joys of obeying God and refusing to listen to those who discredit and ridicule him. We need to follow the guidelines that are given here if we would remain godly men and women. The psalmist tells us in very specific and cogent terms how we can recognize a godly man. There are several qualities that a godly man evidences in his life. Look at verse number one. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So we can first of all identify a godly man by what he refuses. A godly man refuses counsel or advice or guidance from the ungodly. And we would expect one who is godly to refuse advice and counsel from one who is ungodly. So he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Notice the progressive development of sin. He avoids or refuses, first of all, the counsel of the ungodly. Secondly, he refuses to stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but neither does he stand in the way of sinners. And he definitely does not allow himself to progressively move in a downward direction. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. The scornful are those who are harsh in their criticism of that which is right and wholesome. The scorners show a lack of respect, a lack of approval for things that are wholesome and right and spiritual. The scorner openly dislikes and disrespects and holds in derision, often mixed with indignation, criticism. One who scorns holds in contempt those things which are good. And we see that all around us now. We see it on the talk shows on television. We hear it on the radios. People don't have a lot of respect for godly teaching and godly living and right principles and moral standards. These are individuals who are scorners. And we don't want to ever become guilty of sitting in the seat of the scornful, those who are harsh in criticism of godliness, those who show open dislike and disrespect for things which are Bible-based and spiritually grounded. We know some who sit in the scorner's seat. Some who sit in the scorner's seat are ungrateful teens who complain about their parents' strict guidelines. Some who sit in the scorner's seat are hostile proponents of the gay rights agenda. And even those who say that marriage is between a man and a woman, you know, they are subjected to scorn and ridicule, and they will characterize you as a hater. The hateful, ungodly sit in the scorner's seat. The self-righteous sit in the scorner's seat. Evil, envious ones sit in the scorner's seat. Arrogant atheists sit in the scorner's seat. Egotistical evolutionists sit in the scorner's seat, and so do denominational dividers, intolerant Muslims, the intolerant promoters of tolerance. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how folks will accuse you of being intolerant because you are a Christian, because you are a Bible believer, because you are a follower of Christ, because you are for sound moral standards and principles. They will say you are intolerant because you don't accept their vile philosophies. And they are intolerant of you because you are intolerant of sin and wrongdoing. So they are the ones who are intolerant. So they are intolerant promoters of tolerance. They want you to just accept anything. They want you to just say everything is fine, everything is all right. We also notice some who sit in the scorner's seat are antagonistic members of opposing political parties. And we see this on every hand now. Caustic criticism, vile criticism spewing forth from the mouths of those who occupy high political offices. We also witness some who sit in the scorner's seat who are disgruntled church members who are prone to engage in perpetual and unrighteous criticism. So we can identify a godly man by what he refuses. He refuses to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He refuses to stand in the way of sinners. And he refuses to sit in the seat of the scornful. But not only can we identify him by what he refuses, we can also identify him by what he relishes. Relish, that means to enjoy or delight in something. To relish is to desire and enjoy that which satisfies one's taste. There are certain things I relish. As a matter of fact, when I have pinto beans, I relish on pinto beans. I enjoy my relish on my beans. And some of y'all know how to fix relish. Some of y'all know how to can relish. But relish is good on pinto beans as well as hot dogs. But there are some things that the godly man enjoys, some things he relishes, and some things that we all should enjoy. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul says to Titus, advise them that are rich, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Sometimes people believe that Christians are sourpusses and disgruntled and don't ever smile or don't have a spirit of enjoyment, but God blesses us with things for us to enjoy. Charge them that are rich in this world, they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Whatever it is that God blesses you with, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your mates. Enjoy good books. Enjoy the Bible. Enjoy good food. Enjoy good fellowship. We need to get together and have more good fellowship with each other. We need to enjoy each other more. Those are some things we should relish. I used to relish Breyers ice cream. And my favorite flavor, believe it or not, is vanilla. I'm not like the fellow who will travel 30 miles to a Baskin-Robbins and then get there and order vanilla. You know, I just go to my local Kroger store and get me a half gallon of Breyers. I used to do that. I've given up Breyers ice cream now. But I used to really relish it. I used to really enjoy it. What does the godly man relish? What does he enjoy? Verse number 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So we see his delight and we see his dedication. His delight is in the law of the Lord. His dedication is seen in the fact that in his law he meditates day and night. You can't go wrong loving the law of God. You can't go wrong enjoying, reading, and studying, and meditating upon the word of God. Psalm 119:97, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 119, verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Isn't that wonderful? We should have that kind of delight in God's word. So you can identify a godly man or a godly woman by what they relish. But not only that, our final point, we can identify a godly man or a godly woman by what he or what she resembles. What they are like. Notice verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We consider the planting of the tree. It's in a good place. It is planted by the rivers of water. So its roots have free access to waters. That brings forth his fruit in his season. This tree that the godly man resembles, we consider his planting, his production, and his prosperity. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We, as the people of God, need to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water with stability. You know, we used to sing that song, like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Are you planted deeply in the soil of God's word? And do you drink deeply of the water of God's word? That you might be productive, that you might be fruitful. We as children of God should endeavor every day to be fruitful. Again, you can identify a godly man or godly woman by what they refuse, by what they relish, by what they resemble. How do you measure up as a godly man or godly woman? You might have slipped. You might have wandered into the counsel of the ungodly. You might have began associating with and standing with the sinners. And you might have even on occasions taken your seat on the scorner's seat. You don't have to continue that kind of deceitful and dangerous practices. You want to avoid walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, and sitting in the seat of the scornful. But you want to find enjoyment. You want to find